Welcome to GhostBiz. You're on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and every week I get to chat to the finance ghost to find out what's going on around the world. Ghost, welcome to today's show, and let's start out with a company that is exiting Namibia. Typically, with all the good news happening around Namibia, we're finding lots of companies coming in, but Safari Investments have decided to get out. Tell us why that is.
Hi, Gary. Hello to all the listeners. Yes, isn't it nice to be able to talk about a Namibian update that doesn't involve TrustCo? So I'm grateful for that, at least. As you said, Safari Investments deciding to exit Namibia. They are getting 290 million rand for their Namibian subsidiary, and the main asset there is a shopping center in Swakopmund. So it's pretty interesting, pretty basic deal. There's a little bit of an achterskort, as they call it, which is a potential future payment or earnout if the underlying property achieves a specific targeted net operating income. Could add between 1 million and 10 million rand to the deal. So if they achieve the full achterskort, then that would take it to 300 million rand for the deal. The fair value of the property was sitting at 303 million rand. So even if they get the full achterskort, they've still sold it at a slight discount to the value at which they were recognizing it in their financials. So that tells you that this wasn't necessarily an example of a great offer that came through the door. It's more part of a broader strategy from Safari to exit Namibia, focus on core assets, and then reallocate capital into assets that they believe have better growth opportunities. And in this case, they specifically reference retail properties in lower income areas in South Africa. So that's typically your kind of township centers and township adjacent centers. And these are fast-growing assets that's tapping directly into the trend of informal into formal retail in South Africa, which is just a fancy way of talking about a trend where people are literally buying a bit less at a spaza shop, for example, because now there's a mall nearby which has a Shoprite or has a Boxer or, you know, take your pick. And the buyer of the asset is a Namibian company as well, and that is Oryx Properties, that I believe is listed on the Namibian Stock Exchange. So a bunch of Namibian legs to this deal. It's both the asset and the buyer located in Namibia.
Now, people who are actively invested in the JSE would no doubt have heard of Capitec, who have disrupted banking now for well over a decade and have done an outstanding job in doing it and still are. But there's a changing of the guard at Capitec, and the CEO, who's been part of the executive management team for the past 25 years, Gerry Fourie, is on his way out. Now, in many companies, leadership is critical. In the case of Capitec, what do you foresee happening next?
As you quite rightly point out, it is very, very important to make sure that the right person is in the top job. And I mean, what a story, right? What a legacy for Gerry Fourie to look back on, retiring as CEO. He's been part of the executive management team for 25 years. Capitec is literally the best post-democracy business story in South Africa, full stop. There's no other example of anything that has been scaled that efficiently, that profitably, and with that much success. So what an incredible legacy, a well-deserved, and of course, very, very wealthy retirement. He's an extremely wealthy man and really deserves it. So his successor, who will certainly be hoping to make some good money from this and definitely lead the business into the next phase of its life, that's Graham Lee. He's been on the group Exco since 2022. He's been with the bank since 2003. So just a really good example of an excellent succession plan. This is what you want to see. You want to see an iconic CEO retiring and replaced with someone who's been in the business for over 20 years. It's like textbook stuff. And I suppose that just talks to the success that Capitec has had. I think it's going to be more of the same from Capitec. And by that, I don't mean the same types of services that have built the bank. I mean the same growth, the same expansion into new areas, that same thinking of this beautiful organic growth story in South Africa, and maybe some interesting deals offshore. They have dabbled in some of that as well. We'll have to see what happens there. Capitec's pushing into business banking at the moment. There's still lots of products that they can get involved in over time. People forget that Capitec has built what they've built based almost entirely on traditional retail banking, bank accounts, basic loans. Not much in the way of secured finance, vehicle finance, etc., mortgages. Still so much they can do. So very exciting bank to be leading. I'm sure that Graham Lee is thrilled with the opportunity that lies in front of him and the group. And I expect to see more of the same from them.
And then lastly, Ghost, let's look at another share that has been in this program more than once, and that is Renogen, a darling of the JSE a couple of years ago, and then the last 12 to 18 months been pretty dire for them. But the share price is up 96% again over a month, and it's just 2% year to date. So what's going on at Renogen? Is there finally some good news for long-suffering investors?
Oh, Renogen, you got to love it, right? It doesn't get more volatile than that. I think I joked, it might have been on X yesterday, that the share price, if you look over the past month versus the past year versus year to date, it looks like an erratic toddler that's had too much sugar. And I stand by that. And unfortunately, that's because the underlying business has been about as volatile as a highly emotional toddler. And anyone who's had a toddler will hopefully appreciate the reference. And of course, retail investors can also be pretty volatile. So good news comes out at Renogen and people go mad and suddenly the share price doubles. Bad news comes out at Renogen and people dump the stock and the share price halves. It's absolutely crazy. And the latest quarterly update shows you how much good news and bad news there is in this thing. So for example, the bad news is they still don't know how to fill one of the large containers that they need to be able to fill at extremely cool temperatures. The good news is they figured out a bit of a plan B using smaller containers, and they did manage to fill one this quarter. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal, right? It's like, yeah, we filled a small container of helium. But for the market, what it did was it proved that helium can, in fact, come out of the ground. Because I think the story had gotten so bleak around Renogen and the level of mistrust that the market had towards management and the stories they were being told, the people were just genuinely thrilled to see that helium is actually coming out of the ground. It's that kind of very basic, you know, thank goodness there's something there. The quarterly update also references their LNG production that was up 22% quarter on quarter. Now, all the focus is on helium, not LNG. So no one really cares about that, but it's an interesting source of revenue at the moment. And actually, that's a great uptick in production, right? It's just no one's really talking about that because the share price of Renogen is all about the helium. But the scary thing, and this is where I would still be very nervous, there's a court case at the moment between Tetra 4, which is Renogen's South African subsidiary, and then a company called Springbok Solar. And it all relates to a solar project that Springbok Solar has built on ground that is effectively, allegedly related to Renogen's license. And there's a whole thing. It's all very technical. It's been heard by the High Court now. And there's some potentially crazy outcomes from this. So, for example, one of the things that may well come from this, hopefully not, but it's an outcome, is that there's something wrong with Renogen's license. And then, you know, Springbok Solar feels like they can basically go around it and say, well, I don't know what Renogen's complaining about here because their license is not valid. In response, Tetra 4, which is the Renogen subsidiary, has filed an appeal with the Department of Mineral Resources regarding the approval that the solar developer obtained. So it's basically a very big fight around whose licenses are valid, whose approvals are valid. And obviously, if it comes out that there's something wrong with Renogen's mining approvals, gosh, I don't know where the bottom is for the share price. I genuinely don't know. You could pump any amount of helium into it, and I don't think it would help. So hopefully that's not the outcome of this. The court has reserved judgment for now, so I guess we'll find out. And against this very difficult backdrop, Renogen is also working on a funding solution because they need to fund their operations and the project. Now, how do you get a funding solution in place when you have this court case in the background? And so it is a very difficult position that Renogen finds itself in right now, but the recent trend in the share price has been up. And I will say this, if the court case comes out in Renogen's favor or the ruling, then the share price will probably get another huge boost. So it's basically gambling right now. I think right now, buying Renogen shares, you may as well be betting on the horses. And there are a lot of people who love doing that. I'm not one of them, but fair play to those who do.
All right, thank you, guys. That's what we have time for this week. Remember, you can catch this and all of our previous episodes wherever you pick up your podcasts, on Spotify, on iOS, or on Android. Make sure you subscribe to the Business Report and stay up to date with what's going on in the markets where you are. I'll be back next week to talk to the finance ghost in Ghostbiz.